Welcome to CICK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CICK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CICK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CICK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CICK News, it's the final days of the BC municipal elections campaign, and we speak with mayor candidates in Prince Rupert for the hotly contested race between Jason Huang, Steve Fitzpatrick, and Herb Pond. Also on the show today, Pam speaks with Village of Telco mayor candidate Leroy Deakins. Don't forget to vote on October 15th, that's this Saturday, wherever you are in BC. Stay with us.
Well, my name is Jason Huang. I am from Prince Rupert.
Jason, thanks so much for being with us today on CICK. Of course, you mentioned right there you're in Prince Rupert. You're one of the mayor candidates running in the race for mayor of Prince Rupert. Maybe tell us firstly a little bit about your platform.
Well, I am mainly here. I advocate for youth sports, youth hobbies, and recreational activities. I am a coach for 20 years now from the Lower Mainland, and I moved up here. I have four kids of my own, and I just want them to grow up in a community where everything is accessible and available for them. I do want, you know, people to come to the country, the city, and feel comfortable in the streets. You know, so infrastructure is a big thing for me. You know, I want the kids to go out and be able to not be scared or worried walking around town. I know housing throughout the whole country is a problem, and you know, myself coming from a low-income family, want to address that issue as well. So I will hopefully use my business connections and experience to address that issue there.
Jason, you mentioned that you recently came up from Vancouver. Is that correct?
I've been here for 2 years now. I work at the Prince Rupert Airport. I'm the operations manager out there.
Okay.
Prior to that, I was managing and GM of restaurants down in Vancouver.
All right. And I guess, you know, some of the things you mentioned, obviously infrastructure has been, you know, a pretty serious issue in Prince Rupert for some time. I know the deficit or needing to raise, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to deal with some of the major infrastructure needs of Prince Rupert. But you also mentioned, you know, the accessibility of sports, recreation, and the safety of the community. Maybe tell me a little bit more about that. Is it an unsafe community right now?
I wouldn't say it's too unsafe, but like because of all the closed down and burnt down infrastructure, and there's a little more homeless people in town in those areas that we would like more than like, and just children walk around our downtown core around those burnt down buildings or closed buildings. There are more homeless people staying around that area. If we build that up again and streets are clean, then I feel it'd be safer for the kids, that's all.
Do you feel that there's a sense or a want to also deal with, obviously, the homelessness issue? You know, folks in Prince Rupert, obviously, over the years have seen some hard times, dwindling fishing industry. Obviously, you mentioned some of the closures of businesses and whatnot on the main streets. But what's the plan to find suitable housing for those who are homeless and vulnerable in the community?
So, our mayor, Lee Brain, has been working really well with that. So he also, he's built up housing for them, and it's almost ready to go. So, you know, the Raffles on 3rd Street there on the Five Corners is almost ready to go and ready for people to start moving in. So I think that's going to help a lot there. And I'll just continue it. If it's not completed, then I'll try my best to help find a way to complete it as soon as possible. A lot of units there.
Yeah, no, it looks like it's going to be quite large, and obviously for, you know, a town that size, needing to fill that void of proper housing for, you know, all members of the community, especially those who find themselves on the streets. I guess another, you know, question around the campaign in Prince Rupert. You know, there's been a lot of development over the years. We've recently also seen the tourism industry kind of spark back up after 2 years of COVID pandemic. But do you feel that there's a possible tipping point of too much development? What's your plan to kind of stimulate, you know, sustainable development and also broaden the spectrum of development and the economy in Prince Rupert? How would you approach diversifying the economy in Prince Rupert if you are successful on October 15th?
I think if I continue on with the 2030 plan, like I read into it deeply, and you know, there's a lot of different items there that be really good for our tourism in Prince Rupert. And we're dividing it throughout all of Cal Bay where it's areas that are not developed anyways. So I think continuing on with that plan and like focusing on our tourism and bringing money back into this town, it's going to help us build up our city the way we want it again.
Now moving on to obviously the infrastructure, you know, issue. I spoke to Lee Brain before the campaign kicked off to talk about some of the things that he's been able to accomplish with council over the last 7 years. And one of them was, you know, chipping away at that multi-million-dollar deficit of infrastructure needs, obviously repairs. Most of the time when you move into come through Rupert, there is a lot of construction going on, especially on the roads. You know, what's the plan going forward to raise the hundreds of millions of dollars still needed to replace sewer lines and make sure that the infrastructure in Prince Rupert is up to the task to accommodate the growth and development that is currently happening?
I think ongoing right now with the council members and the team there, the city manager, we're working on selling land or maybe leasing land. And I want to, like, for myself as once upon a time accountant and business owner, I understand like land growth and how we should be able to sell and lease out these lands and have that money for us and use that money for the best we can. And also asking for provincial and federal help. Like, I know Lee's been having a hard time with that as well. And I really want to push towards that. I know I have the energy and, you know, to go out and fight for that, because I fight and I like to win.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Jason, you know, another question I have for you. You mentioned, you know, you have some young kids and you're relatively new to the community. But why did you choose to run for mayor, especially this time around in Prince Rupert?
Well, I've been to Prince Rupert before. I've been a crab fisherman here for 8 years. I started 16 years ago. This town's always been good to me. It was good to my brother that stayed after the crabbing seasons were over. I always left because I felt I needed a city life. But since I had kids, I feel like Prince Rupert is a great place for them to be raised. And if I'm going to put all my energy and strength into something, I might as well do it as well as I can for my family to grow and for the community around me. My whole life has been about giving back to the community, volunteer as a coach, you know, working to make everything good around me so that way my children can grow that way as well. And, you know, I work at the airport. I do make a pretty good amount of money there. If I am elected, I would be taking a pay cut. It's not about the money for me right now. I have my four kids. I do just want them to grow up in the best community as possible. And if I had the energy and passion to do that for them, I would rather do that for them.
Yeah. Jason, there was, you know, one thing I find interesting, you mentioning the crab fishing. Obviously, Prince Rupert traditionally, historically, has been known as a you know, pretty large fishing hub of the north, the fishing hub of the north. But that clearly has waned in many respects over the last 20, 30 years, almost a shadow of its former self in terms of the amount of fishing boats that are in the area. Do you think that there is a way that town council and mayor can help reinvigorate the fishing industry in Prince Rupert, and how would you do that?
I think they're still ongoing doing that with the zoning that they do. Like, there is only a certain amount of licenses that go around. Like, I think I'm not sure the amount of licenses for crabbing boats, but I know they're capped out, and they're just trying to keep it to keep the seasons fair. It opens certain times, and the zoning of the areas where you can crab, I think they're, you know, working on that. As last season was a really good season for crab fishermen. I think it's going to keep going that way, and you know, I don't think there's nothing we can do about fishing, really, because we've tried our best with being it as sustainable as possible. And, you know, I guess only thing left is to worry about the market price of each crab and fish that come into town. And that's something that's, it's hard to work with, but I'm not sure if I can do anything until I take office. So, but I will definitely fight for that.
Just the last thing, you know, for you, Jason. Obviously, this is a bit of a job application, you offering your position, your service for the people of Prince Rupert. Why are you the right person for this job?
So I think, you know, I'm young. I have the energy. Whatever I do, I tend to excel in it. Like, for example, the position at the airport. I've only been doing that for a year, but we turned that around from almost falling apart with only 4 employees to now a fully run airport, being nominated for awards, which has never been done for in Prince Rupert. And I just think whatever I put my mind to, I get it done. So I think that's something that this town will need.
All right, Jason, thanks so much for taking the time and speaking with us here at CACK. Good luck on the rest of the campaign trail, and hopefully we'll speak again in the future.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Coming up next, my conversation with mayoral candidate in Prince Rupert, Stephen Fitzpatrick.
Well, my name is Stephen Fitzpatrick. I'm running for mayor of Prince Rupert. I'm a resident of Prince Rupert for 30 years, and I'm looking forward to the upcoming election vote on Saturday.
Great, Steve. Thanks so much for being with us here on CACK. You mentioned that there's only a couple more days left before the election on Saturday. Maybe tell me a little bit about your platform and what you've been hearing from voters.
Well, I've lived in Rupert 30 years. I studied political science in university at Memorial in Newfoundland. That's where I'm from. I was the vice president of our student council there. I was involved with the Canadian Federation of Students, the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Students. I came out to Rupert. I got involved with one of the local unions here. I sat on the board of directors for UFAW Local 2000. Then I got a job at the pulp mill, and the pulp mill was going through all kinds of financial turmoil, and I got involved in politics, ran for city council a couple of times. Rupert is a very hard egg to crack. It's a very polarized town, a very sort of NDP liberal town, sort of like you draw the line down the middle here. And I was told when I first ran for council that I would never get elected if I didn't join a political party. And I knew in my mind, in my heart and soul, that, you know, municipal politics has nothing to do with being a member of a political party or a union or any other sort of business, additives or advantages that you might have for being a money guy from downtown with the Chamber of Commerce or something. So I just want to run for the people. I'm a common guy. I think that, you know, we got to start looking after people in Prince Rupert, got to start looking after our housing, got to start looking after our parks, our roads, sidewalks, trails. You know, the city is in financial jeopardy. We borrowed $20 million last year for our water infrastructure. This year, we borrowed another $25 million to build an RCMP headquarters. You know, we're spending about 25 to 30 cents on every tax dollar towards debt relief. So there's not much room to maneuver. You know, the only thing that's available to us is, of course, this Bill 8, the Port Corp tax cap. And most of the, heavy industries on our coast fall under that cap. And we're not getting our fair share of property taxes. They don't even call it a tax. They just call it like a donation or something, you know, because we get basically 10% of what we actually should really be getting if we were actually charging real dollars and then cents and then in the property tax perspective. So we've got to fight that. And, you know, I'm a guy that's not in anybody's pocket. So, you know, I don't really care if I go out there and ruffle a few feathers and get a little angry, get a little pissed off and start telling these, you know, big shot, industrial guys that it's time to wake up and start paying for your city. I mean, they're using our roads and our services and our recreation and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, they're not paying the fair share. And Herb Hond was running, and I know Herb from when he was mayor back in 2003 or 2005, seven, that's around the exact same time I ran for council. And, you know, Herb's the kind of guy that he's just sort of status quo. You know, he's a great, great talker. He smiles and shakes hands, and that's about it, you know. And he's not going to really do anything with this Port Corp tax cap, simply because he knows all these guys. These are the guys that he hangs out with. These are the guys that he works with, you know, on a regular basis. So he's not going to really ruffle any feathers. And, as soon as I knew that Herb was running, I said, you know, I just can't let this stand. I've got to run against him. I've got to give him some kind of competition. And so there's four candidates running for mayor, and I think I'm going to give Herb a run for his money. And I hope the people in Rupert can see through that and, you know, look at me as a viable option. So here I am waiting for Saturday. You know, I've got $0 for my campaign, and Herb's probably spent probably $10,000 to $15,000 from what I can see with his pamphlets and the ads in the paper and his fancy signs all around town. So, you know, we'll see what people see and what people think of it. And I'm just going to, you know, say what I've got to say and do what I've got to do and toe the line. And we'll wait and see what the vote outcome is on Saturday night.
Wow, Steve, there's a lot to unpack there. Sounds like lots going on in Prince Rupert, obviously, and that you mentioned there having to challenge Herb Hond wanting to get back into the mix as mayor of Prince Rupert. Obviously, the infrastructure, you mentioned the infrastructure because that obviously is an issue for all the communities in the north. We're aging communities. The infrastructure hasn't been kept up with over the years, and now we're seeing, you know, a lot of this development you mentioned and more trucks on the road, more heavy equipment on the roads. Our roads are taking a beating. Same ways with, you know, sewer infrastructure as well needing to be upgraded. What do you think was the issue these last 4 years, I guess, with the current council that is on its way out? What are some of the things that you would have done better, and what are you hoping to achieve if you are elected on Saturday?
Well, again, going back to Bill 8, this Port Corp tax cap, you know, when Bill 8 was made into legislation back in 2004, and remember, Herb Hond was a part of this process back in those days. That's when he was mayor. And it was only supposed to be in effect for like 5 years, and then it was going to be phased out. But that would have been 2009. But here we are in 2022, and we're still living by this same Port Corp tax. You know, myself and a bunch of the candidates met with the Port Corp vice president about a month ago, and you know, he's talking about how wonderful it is at the Port Corp and how much money they're making and how much you know, goods and services, and they're moving through the port, and everybody happy. And he's in no mood to talk about changing anything to do with the tax cap. And I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, if I didn't have to pay any more taxes, I wouldn't want to pay any more taxes either. So, you know, our city council's hands are tied. I mean, basically, the only thing we can do is once again, we have to get our MLA, Jennifer Rice. She's a part of the NDP government. They can change Bill 8. They can wipe it off the books and say to these, you know, and class four industries on our coast that you guys got to start paying your property taxes. And it's as simple as that, because these municipalities. And you're right, it's just not Rupert. It's Terrace and Smithers and Prince George and right on through. All these trailers and trucks are moving through our highways by the hundreds every day, and they're stopping for services along all of our towns. So it's just not Rupert. It's, you know, everybody in the province really is affected by this cap tax. And I'll give you an example. Like, you know, Alcan pays property taxes to the municipality of Kitimat. They paid Kitimat $18 million last year. That's just one industry, $18 million. A town like Kitimat, it's about half the size of Rupert. If we were getting that kind of revenue, we wouldn't have to borrow $25 million to build a police station. We wouldn't have to borrow $20 million to upgrade our water infrastructure. We've got our sewage treatment plant that's got to get going here. We've got a water treatment plant that's got to get going here. We're just borrowing and borrowing and borrowing on a credit card that's expired. And you know, we've got to slow the ship down. We've got to like reel this in, and we've got to get some financial resources. And that's one way of getting it. And we've got the coal, we've got the grain, we've got the pellets, we've got the propane, we've got the pork corp. All of these industries are not paying fair taxes. They're all under a cap. So this has got to change. That's one way, you know, to get this show on the road here in Prince Rupert. And if we look after ourselves and we look after our town, or, you know, our roads and our sidewalks and our trails and our parks, it makes life enjoyable for the citizens that live here. We're paying some of the highest property taxes in the province, and yet we've got the least amount of services, you know, and services that are decrepit and deplorable, and roads that are like, you know, like deplorable. We're spending $1 million a year on our roads right now. We should be spending at least $5 million to catch up to what we are falling behind on. By the time we fix all these roads for $1 million a year, we'll have to go back and refix them, because the ones that we fixed will be just as bad in 10 years. And the cycle just keeps continuing and continuing. It'll never end. It'll never get any better. So, you know, we've got to fight with these guys, the NDP government in Victoria, and we've got to, you know, tell them that's it, enough's enough, you know, or we're taking the gloves off. And I'm not a party-carrying member, so I don't care if I ruffle a few feathers. I mean, I'll be in their face. I mean, I'll be the mayor of Prince Rupert, and I'll be determined to make sure that we are looking after ourselves. And if that means I got to go out there and fight with our own MLA and our MP even, and or, you know, I got to, you know, ruffle a few feathers at the Pork Corp, then so be it. And they're going to hear it from me. And, you know, there won't be a dull moment if I get elected. That's for damn sure.
Steve, I'm just going to jump in there. Obviously, you're mentioning, you know, the tax base coming from some of these industries. And I know there's been a conversation going on for several years now with municipalities, regional districts in the Northwest, talking to the province under the banner of the Northwest Regional Resource Benefit Alliance, looking to get a larger slice of the funds, the money that is coming out of these resource projects in the Northwest, to come back directly to the municipalities. You know, where do you sit on that file? They just signed this MOU, but what do you think it needs to kind of get over the line to ink that deal, to see some of those monies come into these communities to deal with some of the situations you're talking about?
Well, yeah, it's about time that the resource-based companies that are, you know, either fishing or mining or oil and gas or logging, you know, they're in and around. They're not necessarily right in our communities and our municipalities and our boundaries, but they're, you know, not too far away. And their workers are also coming into our municipalities and using our services and, you know, driving their trucks and their vehicles and, you know, going to our recreational services. And that's all fine and dandy. But once again, they're not paying anything for this. You know, it's like a free ride. So, yeah, it's a damn good idea that, you know, the resource-based industries in this province start giving a little more of a kickback to the municipalities. And I'm glad that the provincial government recognizes that. And I'm glad that they're, you know, talking to us about, you know, maybe giving us a little bit of a kickback on resource-based taxes that they're collecting for the province. And once again, just remember, it's just a letter of memorandum. It's nothing written in stone here yet. There's nothing binding to the provincial government and municipalities yet. It's just like they went to the BC Municipalities Conference this year and they signed a letter of understanding. So that's where it is right now, a letter of understanding. So once again, you know, you got to keep your finger on these people. You got to keep, you know, constantly hounding them. You got to keep your, you know, calling them, and you got to be in their face, and you got to say, look, we're not going to take no for an answer. We've got to generate some more revenues, or our municipalities are falling apart. Our water infrastructure is falling apart. Our roads, sidewalks, bridges. I mean, you know, the place is starting to look like a slum. So, you know, yeah, I'm glad that the provincial government is at least talking about, you know, giving us a little kickback for from the resource-based industries in this province.
Just the last thing for you, Steve, before I have to let you go. Obviously, you know, the vote is coming up on Saturday. What's your last pitch to the voters of Prince Rupert, and why are you the right person for the job?
My last pitch to the voters of Prince Rupert, I'll probably go on social media and, you know, and walk the streets, and I think I'm going to might get a leaflet done this week and then put it on some car windows and some mailboxes. It's just to tell people that, you know, Herb Hahn might not be the answer. I mean, he's slick, you know, he's been on all these boards, he's been the mayor before, you know, he smiles and shakes hands well, and he speaks well, but you know, that's not necessarily any substance. That's not necessarily means he's going to actually do anything for you. He's, you know, he's in with the business crowd. He's in with the Chamber of Commerce. So it's going to be very difficult for him to fight industry in this town because, like, he's buddies with these guys. These are his people. So he's not going to be like me. I'm going to be like, you know, I have nothing to lose. And I want to make sure that I get something done for the people of Prince Rupert. And we got to start looking after the low income people. We got to start developing some housing strategies. You know, like one idea I have is to, selling land in Prince Rupert. We've got lots of land, lots of building lots around town. Sell these building lots, put them into our legacy corporation. Take that money, work with the provincial government and the federal government and housing initiatives where they've got billions of dollars available for cooperative housing, and start building some low-income housing in this town. The rents in this town are outrageous. I mean, seniors can't afford it, disabilities can't afford it, people on welfare can't afford it. You know, you can't even find people to work in this town anymore because they just can't afford to live here. So they're moving out. They're going back home to the reserves and going to other places where they can afford to rent an apartment. And we've got to do something about this. You know, this out-migration, you know, we're not gaining any people in this town. And if we don't gain any people, we don't have any extra people that are renting here or buying homes. And those are tax revenues, too. So I think that I can do a better job than Herb Hahn. I think I'm well-equipped. I've got the skills. I've got the ability. And, you know, I'm ready to go, you know, like feet on the ground and make me the mayor. And, you know, you won't be disappointed.
All right, Steve Fitzpatrick, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much for giving us your time and your insight, and good luck in the last couple of days of the campaign.
Okay, Dan.
Finally, we hear from former BC Liberal MLA candidate for North Coast and former mayor of Prince Rupert, Herb Pond.
I'm Herb Pond. I'm in Prince Rupert, and I'm running for mayor again.
Herb, thanks so much for being with us here on CICK. Obviously, you mentioned that there you are a former mayor of Prince Rupert. A lot of things have changed since your time. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about why you wanted to jump into the race again this time around.
Yeah, so if you'd have asked me a year ago, it certainly would have been the last thing on my mind. I was very pleased with the direction the city was going overall. But when it became obvious that both Mayor Brain was stepping away after two terms, just as I had, to spend a little more time with his family, and that Councillor Moreau wasn't going to step up into the mayor's role, and then one by one, as I talked to other councillors, it was clear they weren't. The leadership gap just concerned me so much. Having been in the role, having understood what it takes to build the kind of momentum that the city is now showing, I just felt like we really need at this point in time to have experienced leadership in that role.
As I mentioned before, I did speak to a couple of your competitors, one of them being Stephen Fitzpatrick. He had a lot of criticisms of yourself when you were mayor, as well as the past few years, some of the things that the council didn't get done right. Where do you stand on those criticisms as well? He also made a direct challenge to your leadership, saying that the last time around, your leadership just wasn't good enough for Prince Rupert and that he wanted to bring another sort of approach, some change. What would you say to that challenge of your leadership, and how would it be different than someone like Steve Fitzpatrick?
Well, you know, obviously, when you're an armchair quarterback, it's really easy to say you should have done this, this, and this. And when I look back over my term, I wish we could have done more. But on the big things, we got it right. And the largest thing was, if you recall back in that era, the biggest issue that we had was finding new economy and jobs. If you were campaigning in 2002, you talked about nothing but jobs. And the only housing crisis that we had here in Prince Rupert and really across the Northwest was that our houses were worth nothing. People were literally turning the keys back to the bank. And so in that environment, we did a number of really good things. We helped get the Acropolis Manor built. We helped North Coast Transition House get Raven's Keep, which is a transition house. And we did a number of other things. But most importantly, we had a Canada-wide effort, really, that we organized to get the investment in the container terminal, which turned Prince Rupert and much of the North Coast and the Northwest around. Today, circumstances are very different. I've changed a lot. You know, I've had experiences working for First Nations, for industry, continuing to do my not-for-profit work. But the current mayor and council, I think they've done a really good job. Nobody is ever going to sit back and agree with 100% of the things you do when you're in leadership. But the big, broad strokes, they've brought us a long way. We've built up a lot of momentum, and I'm just eager to see that work continue.
Yeah. Herb, you mentioned that, Dare, that you have been out of municipal politics for some time doing other things, other leadership. But what are you hearing from voters this time round? What's new on their mind? What are their priorities?
First of all, you know, any local government in British Columbia will tell you that they've got an infrastructure problem. This isn't unique to Prince Rupert. We have some additional challenges, but everywhere is facing infrastructure challenges. It's been an issue for local governments for a long time. We will not solve all those problems in 4 years. This current council couldn't solve them all in 8 years in the past two terms. We won't solve them all, but we can take significant steps. And the most critical step right now is to finish off the water treatment process. So this council secured our water supply. We're about to switch to the new dam, and that's really positive. There's some good things that come with that. But the next step is to add filtration, which is about a $25 million project, and we'll attract the funding for that. And then bit by bit by bit, we have to replace the entire or the better part of the water distribution system, the pipes that run underground and deliver the water, because many of those are 100 years old. But again, you do that step by step by step in a really organized manner. And while you're doing that, you get to separate out the Rupert was designed and built with our storm sewers and our sanitary sewers combined. And that's why we can't cost effectively do sewage treatment. So when you open the road to do the water treatment, you separate out the storm and the sewer, and you put the road back together, and you don't have to open it up again. So, you know, those are just infrastructure pieces. The housing piece is the big piece. We're just mismatched. We have people that can't afford the houses they're in or can't find the places they want. We have seniors in houses that no longer work for them, but there's nowhere for them to go. We just, from the top to the bottom, we are mismatched. And it is, if you talk to any employer, be it the hospital or the port or any industry, school district, the number one challenge in recruiting new people to fill those nursing jobs that we desperately need is housing. So that's going to be a big area of focus.
Herb, we know that in the last number of years, we've seen a lot of development in and around Prince Rupert, some of it being heavy industry, a lot of it going through the port, the expansion of the port, one of the largest employers in the community now. Lots of jobs being offered in the community, lots from the port expansion, but we're still seeing a lot of the businesses on the main streets shuttered and closed. At the same time, council has removed a lot of the red tape involved with establishing a business in Prince Rupert, in some cases removing all the taxes required from a new business for several years. But how do you balance that and ensure enough taxes are being brought in to cover a lot of what you're saying, but at the same time, not just houses and infrastructure, but recreation and the vibrancy of the community?
Yeah. Wow. Maybe you should be running for mayor. You're touching on the right topics. Our retail footprint is in fact actually overbuilt for modern retail. And it's another area of mismatch. Very few retailers are interested in the small footprint little stores that we have that are left over from almost a century ago. They're cute, but they no longer are viable. And so we're, you know, if you look at the 2030 plan, it acknowledges that. It acknowledges that we have to modernize the retail footprint, create opportunities. You're absolutely right about what the current council's done in terms of clearing red tape. But the other piece is, within our downtown core, there is a lot of opportunity to add housing. And it won't be the housing that everybody wants, but if you add in the downtown core where the services already exist, by services I mean water and sewer, and you're not hauling a ton of muskeg, we can actually build in the downtown core fairly quickly. You can go a long way to cleaning up the downtown and then rebuilding portions of the downtown. And the 2030 plan, again, identifies room for up to 3,000 housing units scattered between, say, Canfisco Fish Plant all the way to Five Corners in Prince Rupert, if you can think of where that is. And I've taken some heat on Facebook for just simply quoting that. No, I don't believe we'll build 3,000 housing units in a month or two. It will take time, but you only get there by starting with the first building and then the next building and then the next building. And those can be a blend of rentals and low rent and owner occupied and life leases. There's lots of really creative financing models to make it work for everybody. But again, all of that is to say we need to fix the mismatch between what we currently have and what modern demands require. And then finally, you mentioned recreation, and we're going to have to spend some energy on renewing and upgrading our recreation and cultural facilities. I'd like us to see, working towards a new home for the Prince Rupert Rampage and a new home for the All-Native Basketball Tournament, or at least a more appropriate home for the All-Native Basketball Tournament and other cultural events like Salmon Fest and other things that are important to the heart of the community, right?
Just a couple more things for you, Herb. I mentioned it earlier, but we have seen a pretty big increase with industry and development in the Prince Rupert area over the last few years. We saw an Alta Gas facility built. We saw the expansion of the shipping terminal. We're also seeing a couple other projects come online. One, Vopak, that is going to be shipping a lot of refined petroleum products through, already on the trains moving into Prince Rupert. But there's also this question, I know it was asked years ago, of tipping points and what may be too much for one community. And I guess there is the question, do you think there is a tipping point to a lot of the development that is currently going on around Prince Rupert?
I don't think there's a tipping point as much as there is a need for the community to keep up. If you look at, I sort of look over a couple of decades and say, we went from a jobs problem to today where we have a people problem in that we don't have enough. And we don't have enough because of the community's not been able to keep up. Industry expanded rather rapidly. I'm thankful for that. And I can guarantee you the mayor of almost any community that's listening to this broadcast is going, well, I wish that was our problem. If we fail to catch up, we will hit a tipping point. There's no question. But I think that's on us. We can build a community that can comfortably house. We used to be 18,000 people. We're 12,000 people today. So we know we can easily add 6,000 people without being any different than what we are, other than being better than what we are. Customers for everything from restaurants and stores to users at the recreation facilities and more people to staff all of those places, including our hospital. So it doesn't concern me as long as we commit and as long as we have skilled leadership at the helm that can make sure the community gets caught back up and then gets ahead of industry, so that as industry grows, we're ready. We've got the kind of rec facilities, we've got the kind of downtown, we've got the kind of housing and services, so that we can comfortably absorb that next industry. And I think industry actually sees it too. I'm talking to many of the major players in the industry, and the Port Corp and others. They see it. They know their own ability to grow is now being hampered by the fact that the community hasn't kept up.
One other thing I wanted to touch upon in this conversation, Herb, do you feel that enough of the tax revenue coming in from these projects, from these developments, is enough? Do you think they are paying their fair share? And how does this tie into the Regional Resource Benefit Alliance and trying to get an agreement inked to see more of the revenues from these developments coming directly into communities in the Northwest, local communities, to deal with some of the infrastructure issues?
Yeah. Again, so appropriate. I don't really care the methodology of how we get that revenue from industry, but we need more revenue from industry. And we can do it a lot of different ways, but at the end of the day, they need to be paying their fair share. The current tax system, if we had hours, we could bore people at, and with just how broken the overall property tax system is and has been. It's centuries old, and it's no longer a viable way of funding small communities, particularly rural, remote communities. If we put on this broadcast, mayors and councillors from up and down Highway 16 and over on Haida Gwaii and all around, they would all be nodding their heads saying the property tax system is failing us today. Property owners, if you own a house, your assessment goes up and up and up every year as your house becomes worth more. And unless the council dials back the rate, you end up paying more. And the same is true for small business. But industry gets to depreciate their business every year. And it just becomes impossible for small communities to manage that, because the new industries got to be taxed at the highest rate, and the old industry has depreciated their business, and the thing is a mess. So again, I don't care how we fix it. There's lots of different creative ways. I think we can actually form quite a coalition that are all interested in the same outcome. And in the end, industry's not stupid. They don't want to pay more taxes, but they also don't want to be having to be a one industry town where they're the only payer and player. So we can solve this thing together. One way or the other, we need more money out of industry, and we'll get it.
Yeah. Herb, one more thing for you. A couple days left in the campaign. What is your last message to voters, and why should they vote for you?
Wow. Well, I just always want to remind people while we're looking at the current council and how well they're doing, and we all, I think, certainly many of us appreciate so much what Mayor Brain and what Councillor Moreau have done. As they step away, they're actually stepping away as highly seasoned, 8-year experienced people. They didn't start this way. It took them a while to build up this head of steam. And if we aren't careful about the decisions we make here, that's in jeopardy. And I mean, that's the whole reason I'm running, is there's a sense of urgency in my bones that says we need to keep moving forward on this track, and we can't afford to start from scratch again in terms of leadership on this. I've got the experience. I've learned a lot since I was last in office, and if you just close your eyes and think about who is best able to step in tomorrow and keep us seamlessly moving forward, anybody I talk to says it's me.
All right, Herb Pond, we'll leave it there for now. Candidate for mayor in Prince Rupert, thanks so much for giving us your time today, and good luck on the campaign trail.
Yeah, thanks. Been a pleasure. Take care.
Last but not least, we'll kick it over to Pam for her conversation with Telqua Mayor candidate Leroy Deakins.
My name is Leroy Deakins. I've been a resident of the village of Telqua for the last 30 years. Wife, got 3 kids and 8 grandchildren.
Okay, great. So can you tell me, why are you running for mayor of Telqua?
Well, I've served 8 years on council already, 5 of that as deputy mayor. And we had issues with our mayor there not long ago. We kind of ran the last year and a half without our mayor. So the 3 of us that were left decided we'd all work together. And the 3 of us, we split all the duties and whatnot. And we would just wait till the election and we would have an election. So I figured I have 8 years in. I think it's a good time for me to step up to be mayor and go from there.
Yeah, great. And what experience did you get from sharing the role of deputy mayor in those previous years that you would want to take into your role as mayor of Telqua if you win?
Well, my role of mayor of Telqua is to work together with council. The first time I was in, we had a mayor that was really good, I thought, and we worked really well together with our council. And I think it's all a part of everybody working together. We all have a common goal to get this done, and we need to work together to get it done. And I want to have stability in our council room.
So what are your priorities if you're mayor?
Well, my priorities, well, we got to be realistic about this. Priorities, first and foremost, is infrastructure. Our infrastructure, we had a survey done about 4 years ago by WSP, and they gave us a timeline that said, you know what, people, your water infrastructure is coming to an end, and we need to be replacing this. So as everybody knows, to get money to replace everything at once, well, that's not going to happen. So we strategically picked out the worst spots, and we're working at that now to see if we can carry on with that. So I would say infrastructure is really big of my thing. Roads is really big. Of course, it would be cherry on top of the cake if we could get a bridge across our river and across our train tracks, because that's also a very sore spot of mine. We've been fighting that for 8 years. Every time we go to Vancouver, we have to bring that up to them, but we seem to be falling on deaf ears. So we just keep pushing that, and our infrastructure is a top priority for me.
Absolutely. Now, what do you think, how would you continue to make a difference if you aren't elected mayor this year? How would you continue to make a difference for the village of Telqua?
Well, one thing you got to realize, before I became a counselor, I was with the Bulky Valley Kinsmen for 25 years. And retired out of there as a life member, so I'm not that old that I can't volunteer, and I'm a big volunteer, so I love my town, and I love to help my town, and I would do anything to help my town.
So what do you think are your community's biggest struggles that you personally don't face, but are struggles that you're aware of that will matter to you as mayor?
That's one thing. In my job, I have the gas station in town. I talk to people day in, day out, about things like this. You wouldn't believe the conversations that go on down there. It's actually quite good because I get to learn about everybody's desires and what they would like and what they're struggling with. And so, yeah, for that thing, I would say I've got a pretty good grip on that because I talk to a lot of people all day, every day.
Yeah. Any specific topics or anything like that?
Yeah. Unless you say gas prices. That is a big one. It's hard for people.
Yeah.
And with the gas fluctuating the way it is and everything else, it's very hard for people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a fortunate window for you to have, in sort of a service job that people have their guard down and that they really are willing to talk to the person behind the counter. So you probably get a pretty good view of what
exactly.
Okay, let's move on. So who do you hope to speak for as mayor?
Well, I hope to speak for the common people that we have in our village. I've always been one of the people that figures they got common sense, and I think common sense goes a long ways, and I think it's missing in a lot of areas of public office lately, and I think I can stand up for those people and fight for the people, the young people. Our population is average age is 34 years of age, 34.7 I do believe, which is a young family division, right? So I think it's I can talk for the young families and also the older people in this village, because I see them all as well, all the time as well.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think it's important to vote locally?
Oh, it's so be part of your community. I think that's huge. Always show an interest in your community. This is the place you live. These are your neighbors. These are the people that are going to have your backs if something goes wrong. You've got to be part of it. And it's easy to go home every night. But you know what? Once in a while, if you see somebody on the side of the road, stop by, help them out. You know what? If I see somebody, I'll stop and help them. No problem. It's all part about being a community. And we need to be, we need a lot more of that.
Absolutely. Okay, so was there anything that you think is important for people to know about you that I didn't ask or ask you to allude to? Is there kind of like a last thought that you wanted to leave with our listeners?
Anybody wants to know anything about me, they can come down and see me anytime they want. I'm always open. As my wife says, I talk too much, but that's okay. I like to talk to people. So
sounds like a politician to me. Okay, that's excellent. And lastly, where can people vote in Telqua on the 15th?
And on October 15th at the Community Hall from 8 to 8.
Okay, beautiful. Listen, Leroy, I really appreciate your time. I know that you're busy, so I appreciate you making time this evening to speak to me.
My pleasure. Anytime.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.